And good morning, good morning, good morning, dear listeners. Welcome if I can call you guys the community of Eagle FM's audience. Welcome, welcome, especially here to this brand conversation segment. For some reason, guys, I have extra energy, some motivation, or you know, just some reason. But I'm a bit amped. I don't know what happened. Please don't ask me. Probably it's the three cups of coffee I've had early this morning. But we are continuing with our discussion regarding the branding and innovation. Now, yesterday's element or discussion point was to give the groundwork, was to give you the part one session of branding and innovation. Because branding, in essence, guys, we have to understand there's an overall marketing exercise known as marketing. Then branding forms part of one of the small elements within it. So, in today's discussion, we're going to look at, first and foremost, some pointers. If you are interested in branding or revamping an image, let's say it doesn't matter if it's about yourself or whether it's about your small company, your SME, even if you're just a trader somewhere, you know, how to revamp. Because branding can be anything you do. It can be your dress sense, your style, the way you your fashion sense, even if it's there in the office. Branding has to do with actually appealing to the senses, those the sensory organs like smell, seeing, touch, those elements. Branding plays a lot on that element or on those components. Now, what do we get into? First and foremost, why is innovation so important for branding? So I'm going to give you the first, sort of like pointers in terms of the why element. And then we're going to look at the simple things or the simple strategies that you can keep in mind about brand innovation. So the first one, in terms of why innovation is important for branding, first and foremost, you need to stay ahead of your competition. It's not your enemies, it's your competition. Let me stress this. In a business sense, it's not enemies. No one is going to war. Leave the Sun Tzu, the Art of War, the Karl von Clausewitz, military philosophies outside of the business world. The business world is not a war zone. The business world is a battlefield, yes, but it's not a war zone. So you can't come into a battlefield with military philosophies. You can't. You just cannot. Because first and foremost, what you've got to understand is you've got to be adaptable, you've got to be able to implement your strategies pretty quickly, and you need to ensure that you know things in terms of up-to-date information, because businesses now have to work with up-to-date information. Now, in terms of staying ahead of competition, that's your first point, because you are competing with someone else in a market. Even if you find yourself to be like in the essence or like in the platform of Microsoft, a total and complete monopoly. Even if that happens, you are still competing with someone somewhere. Second on that is you've got to stay relevant with current events. Relevance, guys, is one of the most important aspects for a company's or an organization or an SME or a small trader or a small business person's survival. It is important that you stay relevant. Why do I say this? Because if you're building a successful business, or if you're building a successful brand, or if you're building something, well, the brand is about the business, you have to ensure that there is a legacy platform. For example, Coca-Cola is 200 years old, guys. Coca-Cola, I'll say it again, is 200 years old. How did Coca-Cola stay relevant? If you had to look at all of Coca-Cola's advertising, because advertising is about, promoting a brand and promoting a message from the brand. All of Coca-Cola's advertising has always had to do with one basic need. The need to eat, or the need for sustenance, or the need to drink something. So the advertising is always centered around summer themes. It is always centered around you know, various other aspects regarding activity, because you will sometimes see there's an activity associated to the advertising. You will sometimes even see, you know, various other elements. Or if they're introducing a new sub-product within the Coca-Cola brand, you know, it has one of those features. So it is important that you stay relevant. So as the times go on, I mean, within 200 years, you've got four generations to cover globally. A generation is measured in terms of 25 years. So you've got four generations of humanity to stay relevant. They are probably one of the most, impressive brands still standing. If you had to look at someone, for example, like the telecoms industry in terms of staying relevant, you can see what they're all doing. You know, they're going with the times. So their relevance is interlinked towards any technological advancements that take place. But that's point two. I will not explain for now further into that. We head into our second point, or into our second, third point to follow on to that. And this is essential with branding and innovation: growth and expansion into new categories. Growth and expansion. I'll explain that. I've already explained it since yesterday, even now with the Coca-Cola example, but I'll explain to you growth and expansion. How that forms part of the innovation and branding sort of like mixture or combination. We then head into number four, that takes you through new consumer needs. Remember, a customer is not always a consumer. And a consumer is sometimes also not always your customer. We had this exercise in terms of on varsity at Polytechnic, in terms of where the lecturer I had would ask us, is a consumer and a customer the same thing, or is a consumer and a customer two different entities? Explain. And it was just a basic exercise that he ran there within the lecture hall, within the lecture. And all of us, most of the students now, came up with the perspective that your consumer, in most cases, is considered the person at the end of a consumption. If you had a supply channel, a diagram in front of you, from producer with the facilitators and middlemen in between and the consumer at the end, you can always indicate that the consumer, the person actually using the product or using the item, would find themselves at the end, in most cases, at the end of that supply chain. However, a customer can also be at the end of that supply chain. A customer can be found at any other branch or any other point within that supply chain. Even if you're doing a facilitation job, and facilitators within a supply chain are not always in the supply chain, but they do facilitate the supply chain. For example, like a bank. For example, like an insurance company. For example, any other types of facilitations that take place, like an advertising company. You know? And that's how facilitation can also either include a consumer or a customer along the channel itself. Now, if you've got new consumer needs, information, guys, you do not know how vital information is to a company. You do not know how vital information is to a company. For example, this information will help the company in terms of various marketing strategies, the adaptation or the readaptation or the revamping of their mission and vision statements, product development. And this fourth point actually links into the other three top points that I just, you know, quickly ran over in order to give you like a prologue into each of those points. Now, if we're going to start off with the first point, staying ahead of competition. Now, as a business person, some of you would have thought about the needs of a consumer, as well as also balancing your competitiveness, you know, how competitive you are. And on top of that is also your approach in terms of to both these two external stakeholders. Because remember, if you look at something from, let's for example say like a communications perspective, because I also have that aspect. If you're a public relations person or a corporate communications person, your competition is also part of your external stakeholders, because they form part of the same market that you also form part of. I'm not talking about collusion, no price fixing or any of those other things that, that is often found or discovered within the international markets in terms of business. I'm not talking about that. You just also have to understand that in terms of the communication strategies that they sometimes have, they can also impact your own consumers or customers. The same thing that you can do to their consumers and customers. Because if you understand, like in a free market setup, then everyone's customer is everyone's customer. And you only have to figure out the best way, ensure that you've got the best sort of like a recipe in terms of being competitive, to make sure that every dollar from one customer comes to you. Every dollar. Well, you can have a mentality of being totally competitive, or you can have the facilitation mentality in terms of like what you sometimes find in China directly. I mean, you would find, if you really want to see in your face competition, you would find the fake Nike shop right next to the real Nike factory shop in most cities in China. And then you'd find two other knockoff Nike shops right next to that real Nike shop within the same place. And that is totally, totally encouraged by the authority, the Chinese authorities within China. The same also in the automobile industry. So it's from your clothing to your automobile industry to even your electronics industry. Because China itself, not just being the factory of the world at one stage, was now, things have slightly changed from 2015 up until now. But in essence also, it allows the local, let me say local, because you've got national and a national economy, then you've got a regional economy, then you've got like a localized economy. If you look at, it's almost similar to governance structures. You've got a national government, a regional government, then you've got like local authorities. The same essence in terms of if you look at economic structures to ensure that, you know, everything flows up and down properly. The structures are set. In that same sense, guys, the Chinese government would encourage big conglomerates, big multinational companies to open up, invest, and set up, manufacturing plants for cars, electronics, you name it. But here's what they also tell those multinationals, those MNCs. You know what? You cannot complain if someone is trying to build a similar Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon that has the face of a, what car can I use? Of a Ford Everest. Imagine that car, guys, because those things exist in China. They exist. You can't do anything. You can't even take that guy to court. But here's the thing. In essence, you would be helping a local economy in some part. Let me explain to you. So, you guys all know that you find various Toyota dealerships across Namibia. There's a privately owned one in Marintal. It's a privately owned one here in Gobabis. I know there's a privately owned one in Walvis and in Swakopmund. There's a privately owned one in Okahanya. There's a privately owned one in, where else is there? And I'm still on the aspect of staying ahead of your competition. But here's what you also have to remember. The biggest guy in all this, which is the Pupkewitz Motor Group here in Windhoek, well, they're based in Windhoek. If you have ever seen, they're the only ones that actively advertise the Toyota brand. But They actively advertise it. But if you had to look at the guys from Rintel, Hobabas, and all those other smaller places, they don't participate in drawing or marketing or communicating what they sell. So here's the thing. You've got one guy that has, I'll assume, they have the clout. They have the potential for national marketing activities. The other smaller guys that are privately owned, you know, they are only sourcing, servicing, and catering for a local economy within the area that they're based in. For example, Merintal. For example, Hobabas. For example, Valfus and Swakopmund. For example, Okahania, Ochivarongo. Because it's a question of capacity as well. You can compete with the other guy that is selling the same thing like you. You can. But here's the thing. In terms of looking at, you know, the strength of the brand that you are selling, as opposed to generating more demand for the brand, you would sit a little bit back, because you would look at the economy or the economics within the local environment that you operate within. Because here's the thing, you can sell to anyone. Let's, for example, say you're based in Rehoboth, or you're based in what's this place's name, Witvlei. Small, you know, okay, Rehoboth is not small. Rehoboth is pretty big in terms of population size. But let's, for example, say Witvlei. Let's take Witvlei. Witvlei is it's technically a village in terms of its classification as a local authority. So you've got a car dealership there. But you run auxiliary services as well, like a service center, a petrol station right next to it, and XYZ. And so, all the auxiliary services go on. But your main aim was to also have a car dealership, because you'd like to service the local economy in Witvlei. So that's what you would do. But you won't try and compete with the guy from Hobabas. He's got more capacity. It's a question of capacity as well. He's got more capacity. Now, in terms of staying ahead of your competition, I know that example that I just gave now in terms of, like, you know, how you try to compete. The one has the clout and capacity. The other one, you know, just stays conservative, reserved in their approach. And the main aim is to service the local economy that they find themselves in. You've got to understand as well, brand innovation can also help you within that sense. Because if you want to develop at your pace, sometimes market forces or economic forces will have a push and a pull effect on your business operations. This is what we've now seen with the petrol price increases. If you're a taxi driver or transport guy, that will be your major push and pull factor, because you are transporting, you are driving, you're making use of the one, what can I call it? It's a mineral, yeah. The one mineral or the one commodity in the world that makes an economy move. Not makes it work, makes it move, because you've got to bring people and services and goods from one point to another. Now, in brand innovation, this occurs before your competitors can allow for a larger sustainable competitive advantage. If you have... Now, remember I gave you the Microsoft example at the beginning of the program. You know, because Microsoft would look like a total monopoly. For sure, they would look like it. But Microsoft, if none of you have observed it, is competing actually against the Apple iOS platform. Microsoft still competes against its longest running competition, which is Linux. Linux, which is free to download. They're the guys that give you the Ubuntu operating system, which is smaller than the full scale Linux operating system. That operating system, guys, which is free to download wherever you go, wherever you surf the internet, free to download, takes up lesser space, smaller space than a Microsoft system. But here's the unfortunate thing about it. It's not widely supported with most applications that you actually run on your Microsoft system. So your question, once again, in terms of being competitive, is if you're now one of those free developers with the Linux platform, is do you try to align yourself with a economic principle because they have a noble approach in terms of bringing you something free to download, free to use, which allows your machine to run at its best capability, at its best output, but the programs that you need to do your work with are sometimes not aligned or based on that platform. Most of them are aligned with the Apple platform and the Microsoft platforms. Now, that is a noble idea. It's competitive because everyone, we know ourselves as humans. We want free things. And for Microsoft to stay ahead of the game, for example, like the car industry in Namibia, for one of the competitors who sell the same, they're all franchisees. They're all franchisees because it's Toyota. If you run a car business, you are a franchise owner, like a petrol station. It's a franchise owner. You're just buying into a franchise. You have to pay your royalties like per month or per, you know, negotiated time frame. But still, you are competing with the guy next door, the guy in the other town, the guy in the other sort of like region of the country. You're competing with that guy. I don't know how, let's say, petrol station guys can compete with each other, because you all have you have to sell the same petrol and diesel price. You can't have a different petrol and diesel price. You have to sell the same price. You have to offer the same price. So your auxiliary earnings would probably come from something like your stores, what do they call those things? Those quick shops that they have at service stations. Now, that's an auxiliary competitive element for sure. Staying ahead with your competition demands something else as well. If you are someone that's innovating before your competitors, it will reward your loyal customers. Now, your loyal customers, guys, are always easy to identify. They're the ones that buy regularly from you, meaning you can see a trend of purchases. You can see a trend of how they interact with your brand, how they interact with your product.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiririmba oshina hepero momunyo vyetu peva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ovapuike, odhonongo, nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natua wedha ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omana omanene shimuna omaile no top run. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts, tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga, novitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
So we come back, guys, from that short break. And where we left off, loyal customers will feel valued if you constantly, I don't want to say constantly, but if you innovate regularly enough, predictably enough, that allows them to enjoy, to get more enjoyment factor out of your brand. Now remember, what they're buying is actually the physical product that is aligned, associated, is derived from your brand. So, if you allow that opportunity, the first ones with the latest and the greatest product on the market, which is your loyalist customer, can become your loyalist customer, and they can also become one of your most important marketing outlets. We head into, into our second discussion point on this element in terms of why innovation is essential. Now, secondly, you've got the staying relevant discussion. And this is where the Coca-Cola example comes in. If you haven't noticed, guys, we have summer for as long as, that we are on God's beautiful planet, God's beautiful earth. We have summer in a seasonal window period. And the marketing programs or the marketing strategy associated with a soft drink company or soft drink conglomerate like Coca-Cola is always based upon summer themes. If you take out something like the African Nations Cup, Rugby World Cup, Soccer World Cup, those World Cup elements, the Olympics advertising that we also have to be blasted with sometimes. If you take out those events And you just stick to observing the marketing strategies coming through every summer, spring window period here in the Southern Africa. Because most cases, the advertising would be generic for, you know, for us, South Africa, Eswatini, Lesotho, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Angola. Depending on, you know, just in terms of language use for the marketing. But in that sense, staying relevant. Every summer, there will be a Coca-Cola campaign. Every summer. That's how they stay relevant. They don't go poof. You know, one day we are here and then you don't hear them for 2 years. Every summer. Every summer. There's approximately a 3 month, 4 month, 5 month marketing campaign to promote the element, the usage, the brand itself. Because you have to understand, Coca-Cola is like toothpaste. You don't need to market it. There's nothing you can say about it. But you market the brand's relevance. You market it. Here in Namibia, you don't have to market a Toyota Bakkie. You don't. But you market the latest edition of the Toyota Bakkie. The latest edition of a Toyota Corolla. The latest edition of a VW Polo. Yeah, because there are so many Polo drivers out there. Just, you know, if we just accept that, because there are so many Polo drivers out there. You don't market the physical Polo to say, yeah, it has doors, it has a boot, it has an engine. No. You just remarket the brand every time. And that's the reinforcement aspect that I mentioned yesterday. Reinforcing, creating awareness, informing. Those strategies form part of most of brands, the brand innovation discussion, or innovation and branding. Now, another thing is also about like being culturally relevant within a sense for customers. What do I mean by that? Being culturally relevant, understanding a culture within a country, within your economy, within a market, allows a brand to be adaptable, flexible, and or to always be in the know. For example, guys, we here at Eagle FM, we are easily adaptable, easily flexible, easily in the know. It's not just from our, daily bulletin programs, our news programs, which is early morning scoop on the radar, and then you get to the business economic zone, which has more the business flavor to it, as well as also the Villager e-paper platform. It's also very flexible in terms of the reach. How we reach you. How we reach you. We can reach you on conventional radio. We can reach you through the app. We can reach you through your internet browser. That can include your cell phone, your tab at home, your laptop, your standing PC, your car radio, your normal transistor radio, as they would sometimes call in Afrikaans, your draadloos. Your other radio platforms. We can reach you through so many platforms, even your WhatsApp. If you don't have the application nor listen to us through your radio function on air. So in that same space, guys, that is how branding and innovation stays relevant. Now, here's what we look at. If we take a look at that relevance aspect, here's what we look at. Now, creating branded merchandise. Branded merchandise is like this shirt that I'm wearing. If any of you is seeing me on the stream right now, this is like, although it's like a company shirt, but that forms part of the merchandise element. So staying relevant, you can make cups, you can make caps, you can make bags, you can make pins. You can make scarves or even this weird mask that I have on, that is sometimes known as a buff. You can, you know, if you brand things like that, and that is the notoriety, what they call it, notoriety gifts. That's how you, it's not like giving freebies to your clients. And please don't understand it as also trying to bribe your clients to stay, you know, loyal to you. But that's how you sometimes say thank you to a market, say thank you to your clients by giving them, you know, a few handouts of, you know, do something and you can perhaps earn a cup. Do something and you can do this. Do something and you can get these branded, these Eagle FM or Villager ePaper branded shirts. You know, examples like that. That is how you can stay relevant to a market. That forms part of the innovation. It forms part of the innovation. It is a short-term strategy, however, if you look at it. If you place a strategy within that, if you place a tactic within that strategy. It is short term, but it is also to generate awareness, to generate informative aspects, to create the, you know, the competitive edge that you are subliminally placed, positioned within a consumer or customer's mindset. So if they see your brand, they can they know where to go, they know how to access it, they know how to talk about it. It's all the subliminal aspects that you've got to look at. The subliminalness is, don't worry, in terms of when did I bump into this word. Bumped into it last night, just reading through a little bit of some extra literature. But you have to understand, guys, staying relevant has to do with a multitude of aspects within a market. I know I'm trying to sound like I'm on the business economic zone element, or I've got that hat on, but the branding allows you. Doesn't matter if you're an SME operator. Doesn't matter if you're just someone who's working out of your house, your home, your flat, your room. Just trying to make that extra dollar. But you've got to remember your innovation and branding strategy. You've got to have one. You've got to have one. Now, we get into our, for example, into our next element. Or not next element, into our third point. And this is taking a look at the growth and expansion into new categories. And this is all under why innovation is essential for brand success. Now, point three, growth and expansion into new categories, has to do with what? For example, let me use that Coca-Cola example again. So you've got straight run-of-the-mill Coca-Cola, the one with the red and white label. Then you've got Coke Zero. Oh, what's that other thing? That sugar-free one? The one that's now red and black? Which was before that the black and red label. I know I'm confusing you guys, but I'm always aware of labels changing, because you sometimes don't want to buy the incorrect thing. And I stress this because I myself have, you cause yourself that inconvenience by just buying the wrong drink. You are really in need of this, you know, this sugar, but you go accidentally buy a sugar-free drink and it tastes horrible after that. Those two things, if you have to look at growth and expansion within brand, within product categories, I'm not talking about product width and depth, which actually refers to product range. So product width and depth is interlinked. They can never be taken apart. Never. Because, for example, let me indicate this to you. If you're a retailer that sells the Coca-Cola products. So, just from Coke alone, you've got normal Coke. Then you've got that red and black label Coke. I don't know if it's Coke Zero or Zero-less Coke or No Sugar Coke or whatever it is. Then you've got Sprite, and then a no sugar Sprite. Then you've got the Fantas. Then you've got the Powerades. Then you've got the Schweppes. Then you've got the what's the other one? The Bonacqua and Minute Maid range. Now, as you can see there, guys, as I listed that for soft drink products, they've got an immense product range, meaning they've got their product width is very big, as well as their product depth is also very big. Now, in that sense, you're trying to cover as many bases as possible as a business person. I'm not saying that you need to try and emulate the same type of product width and depth, but if you're someone who's making a product, let's, for example, say you try to build your own little Namibianized car. You're trying to build your own car. So you would first start off with your prototype. You would start off with your first ever batch of cars. Now, in terms of the manufacturing processes, if you now include the first mass production concept that Henry Ford introduced way back in 1900, then if you have to consider the just-in-time manufacturing production, as well as the other sort of like reduction in time theories and philosophies that the Japanese themselves developed, because the Japanese, through Toyota, developed just-in-time. For any of you guys that know, that are in the logistics and channel management industry in Namibia, you guys are the best guys that know about this. However, the just-in-time is a very well-calculated, very well-supervised philosophy. It's down to the minute. It is down to the hour. It is down to the day of delivery. Because there's a planned date of release to a customer, and there's a planned sort of like, if you have to look at the input and the output element, you know, that balancing that manufacturing process. If you decide, as let's say you're now like 7 or 8 mechanics that graduated here from one of the vocational colleges in Namibia, and you decide to make your own car, you have to balance up orders, because in order for you to control demand, you will have to tell clients or a market, you know what, guys, place an order. But there's only one template that can...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, getting back from there, guys, now where I ended off, if the example that I'm giving you, if you're trying now to build your own car here in Namibia, Namibia's probably first electric vehicle, or you name it. Your first concept that you're dealing with is actually market penetration, how to come into the market, because there's already existing brands. So market penetration is your first strategy. But if you now have to work on, you're now operating fully. So the first thing is for you to try and control demand. Because, for example, let's say your car is like, it offers a full range of, you know, all-purpose type of transport, meaning you can drive gravel, you can drive tar and you know, tar road, and you can access almost anywhere because the engine is strong enough. Let's, for example, say you tailor build, you build your engine by hand, which is handcrafted, which is hand built, and everything else is locally made in Namibia, for example, like sourcing all those component parts for the car itself. This, firstly, would be very strategic. Strategic in the sense that you are building in Namibia a Namibian brand. Second on that is, what you would then be looking at your first instance is market penetration, coming into the market. So you'll then try and see how you can expand. Now, brand innovation and innovation with a brand supports growth and expansion. So you will have to look at a network, perhaps, of establishing outlets, you know, distribution outlets, and how that can support the overall demand generation. Remember, if demand is generated and people are impressed, let's say consumers are impressed with your product, you've now technically done one of five things. You've converted those that were loyal customers of other brands, you have attracted customers that could never afford a car, who have a license, would like to own a car, and you've now accessed or tapped into a market that can own a car. Second one of that is also you provide them with an alternative towards any other product that is imported. Because let us be honest, guys, all the cars on Namibian roads are imported. They're all imported. So, you know, that sense of nationalism, you know, being proud of locally made stuff is also plays a factor. That also plays a factor into the second point, meaning the relevance element. You're relevant to a Namibian. It's a Namibian product for a Namibian. I'm not saying I'm not jumping on any of these other themes where they say, you know, the country of origin campaigns that you sometimes see on the internet, on the TV. For example, on the internet currently, the South Africans have one going there about their tourism, reasons to come to South Africa. Now, I'm seeing it in Namibia. That means there's someone that fed it into here and to Google South Africa there in South Africa. And it's now being broadcasted on internet platforms in Botswana, Namibia, Angola, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. So I'm seeing come visit South Africa campaigns, Google ads in Namibia. I'm surfing here in Namibia. You know, you'd like to see Namibian branding on, you know, the web space, which can be done. It's targeted. But in the sense, that's how it works. So you're now trying to target, you know, through customers that you can attract. You're now developing a market. And this then further strengthens, first and foremost, the business formula that you've established, meaning the business model. But here's the other thing. Growth and expansion, guys, is also interlinked into how quickly you can deliver. How quickly. It's the essentials. And that brings me back to the just-in-time, the, you know, logistics and channel management sector here in Namibia. They form one of the most important aspects in Namibia's transport sector. How quickly they can deliver, how quickly they can pick up, how quickly they can transport. Now, still staying on my example of building your own car, let's say a Namibian-owned car. The first thing you'll have to deal with, guys, is trying to get that car. This is going to be your major roadblock. How to get that car certified. Certified in terms of the safety provisions, you know, the safety tests, the provisions, you know, all those kinds of stuff. How are you going to get it certified so that it can run on Namibia's roads? That'll be your only headache. The regulatory aspect. Now, growth and expansion. Just getting into the nitty-gritties of this specific discussion point. Refreshing. It also has to deal with refreshing your brand assets with updated contemporary style, which can also re-engage customers and help you stay relevant in a fast-paced economic or market setting. Now, it's not just about having an existing brand. It's also about you establishing a new one. Here at Eagle FM, another example, we are an existing brand by now. We are in the 4-year, 5-year phase now of our existence. But here's the important thing as well. The relevance point that I mentioned before that, in terms of staying in the know, being easily adaptable, as well as also being flexible, is what is assisting us with the, you know, staying relevant discussion. Staying relevant, you now also need to further on refresh. You now need to further on sort of like just update. Updates, for example, take a look at your software updates that you have to run on your smartphone. That is staying relevant. Your PC, because Windows, for some reason, loves running behind the background updates, which annoys me a lot, but it helps you stay relevant in terms of the technological uses that you're making use of. So growth and expansion has to do with the relevance discussion point. They interlinked. Growth and expansion also can be your start off point. Growth and expansion can also be your further on growth and expansion. So remember that, guys. Things are malleable. Things are totally flexible, adaptable, and as well as also very, how to put this, very sort of like one of the most flexible strategies and tactics that you can ever formulate as a forming part of your total marketing plan. Now, understanding our last point, which looks at new consumer needs. Now, here's the thing, guys. A new consumer can also be a consumer that was a consumer, had left, and is coming back. A new consumer can also be someone that is buying extra from you. A new consumer can be someone that is increasing their purchasing capabilities from you. What I mean by this, these three examples. So, first and foremost, let's for example say, I myself was a Coca-Cola drinker. I have gone off Coca-Cola for the past 7 months now. Up until last week, where I had my, you know, first taste of Coca-Cola again. That can be a returning customer. If you're looking at someone buying extra, for example, you're someone that you're having a party. So you don't know what needs you can serve. Let's, for example, say at this party, the party is also a price setting. So you're not just going to buy one type of beer. You'll, for example, buy Namibian brands and you'll buy South African beer brands. So as to cater for as many people with their tastes, different tastes at the same party. That's an example of someone that's just buying extra. It might be low key, but it's just to get the example through, guys. The third one, in terms of new consumer needs, has to do with business development aspects, as well as also taking a look at just reaching someone new. This can also link in to the discussion that I had now under point three with regards to if you are starting off with a totally new product offering. And that product offering means you are penetrating a market. You're busy with a penetration strategy. So you're busy cultivating a market. Usually, that is the way to go in the business sense. Traditionally, how the philosophies around starting a business or starting a company or starting a service or whatever, you becoming an entrepreneur begins. You cultivate your own clients. You cultivate your own market. You cultivate your own sort of like economy. Economy is a bigger level. But this brings us to the end of these 4 points. Now let's get into the first caller, and I already have like 4 minutes left for us, so it'll be condensed. But Eagle of M, good afternoon, midday. Good
morning. Mr. Great, you are an economist, marketing executive.
Well, Uncle Buana, it's a bit difficult to split the economics discussion from a marketing discussion.
Yeah. It's very important, man. I think this lecture was long, and it's very, very important to the growth of the economy. Sense of business, because you have actually almost analyzed the sector the whole business environment, political and economic and things like that. I think it's just very important. I will use the time tomorrow. The one point that is always neglected is on the cultural survey. So that understanding of since we are now operating globally, so it is very necessary and compulsory that we understand the culture so that we know when you go and operate in America or wherever you want to go, Russia. I think that's a new market. It's a new market that's coming in there. And we are realizing some kind of competition that is coming. So in terms of stiff competition, I know it was predicted a long time ago, I think from the Second World War, and the last data that I have here is 2020, how the competition and economics are predicting this emerging market, emerging economy, developing economy as compared to the West. Okay? And who is going to at least capitalize and get the share, the bigger share of the market in terms of economic power. Then about China and America. So now the competition is very important. We don't look, at that.
Yeah.
But that should not fear our guys. They must just diversify the economic activity. So let me talk tomorrow about this thing, man, please. I was just looking at the time and to pick up the kids. And I think you need to just to give us more time to interact on this thing.
No, but they will be for tomorrow, Agabona, because tomorrow is part three, looking at the five important key strategies that can also be implemented.
I understand.
Yeah, but
What I'm saying is that because this lecture cannot just be closed now, because you see, I was the only first learner who came in, and I'm sure there are a number of learners who want to understand these things, because they are also developing their business plan.
Yeah.
They are also looking at how am I going to be relevant to this thing? How am I going to penetrate in this market? Yeah. Everything becomes blank and no hope and things like that. I hope there are a lot of young boys there, young women who want to come in and innovate. So are we going to leave them out?
No, Angabona, they don't. They should.
I know ego is very relevant. You are very flexible. That's what you say. So I think we can interact with you more better. And tomorrow I will give the others, those young ones who want, and they are listening. They want to make sure that they get into the market. How are they going to compete with those ones?
Yeah. And the most important thing, Angabona, is not always about first having the money, but it's an important thing of also just understanding your strategy. Have the strategy in place. The money is secondary. The money is just an instrument.
It's secondary. So craft up the idea first, innovate the idea.
Yeah.
So that idea will then translate it into money.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that needs to go. And you are telling us things from us. And it's that level. And it's good. So these are things that most of our young ones who want to get in there, whether in agriculture, you are talking about the scaling of the economic activity. If you are running this one and you know that it's not doing better, so you supplement other things. So these are some of the things that I'm just seeing for the sake of others. Those who want to seriously get to understand this.
Exactly.
So just a request.
Exactly, Angabona. Don't worry, Angabona. Tomorrow we will have Fronti. Then we'll have the engagements, because I'll wrap up the first part so that we can have those interactive discussions.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem.
I know that our young ones, they will benefit from these things. And they might also stand up and say, yes, because of your lecture and things like that, I'm then able to get into the market. And here I am.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Angabona, see you again.
God bless.
Now, that brings us up to the end, guys, of today's program of the Brand Conversation. Now, remember, your branding forms part of your communication strategy. But nonetheless, this brings us up to the end for today's session. And up next is the On The Radar team with their latest discussion points that we can expect. And I see one of my colleagues has got a dashing blazer on. I actually like the blazer. I just might have to, you know, mug him after this. But nonetheless, let's stay tuned and let's end it on this note.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30. To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken. Some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always
Wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers.
Limit or avoid travel and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer, and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.